20 years. So the sea ice is disappearing at a terrifically rapid pace. And the takeaway is it is driving the storms. There is such a storm right now on the East Coast. We have a jackass president trying to pretend that we need more global warming. That's exactly the opposite of what we need right now. You've been listening to Press Watch. Coming up, Per Fagring's about to come into the studio and do Fight the Empire. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. To KBLO at 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBLO.FM to you and to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Rocker T and the 7th Street Band on Saturday, January 6th, beginning at 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Rocker T is from Brooklyn and has 7 albums released by a number of labels playing reggae and reggaeton. Also performing will be local artist Aaron Nigel Smith, Heavy City, and DJ Kansaman. Again, that's Rocker T and the 7th Street Band on Saturday, January 6th, 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Always helping each other along the road.
Is investigative reporter Lucy Komisar. We had her on 2 weeks, so we were talking about the William Browder and the Magnitsky case, and we're going to kind of go into part two of that. So I believe Lucy Komisar, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's where we left off.
We left off when Magnitsky died,
mm-hmm.
and we start off now with the massive Browder campaign using the death of Magnitsky to build an international wall to prevent the Russians from collecting tens of millions of dollars that he evaded in taxes or that he had gotten in illegal stock buys.
Should we tell a little bit of a little background here?
Yeah. So Browder was an American investor who went to Russia in the mid-90s. He changed his citizenship to the UK because the US requires you to pay taxes on all of your income, including the money that you stash offshore, but the Brits do not. So he conveniently, in 98, when he was moving ahead and is investing millions of dollars, at one point he claimed he had several billions of dollars invested, not all his money, but he became a British citizen. His accountant, Sergei Magnitsky, was working for a company called Firestone Duncan and was assigned to do the Browder Hermitage Company tax planning. And what he did was, of course, tax evasion. And Browder actually admits some of this in a deposition he gave in a New York legal case. They said they were registered in a region called Kalmykia, which was trying to promote investment and also to help people in the local region. And they said if a company hired half of its people were disabled, they could get a big write-off. So Magnitsky, Browder, they they wrote that these shell companies, actually all they did was hold shares, they didn't have any employees at all, were hiring the disabled, and therefore he was ending up saving with various tax fraud evasion plans about 40% on his taxes. On the part about the disabled, he actually admitted that in U.S. federal court under oath, and he said, well, all the accountants told us that we could do this. Well, they couldn't do, you couldn't do this. You could do it if you actually hired those people, but not if you didn't. So he had a problem. The Russians were trying to collect back taxes. At a certain point, they did not renew his entry visa in 2005, and he could not get back into Russia. What he did was move his investments quickly out of the country so they could not be attached for the back taxes. But it wasn't until Magnitsky died that he saw a way to get American support for what he was trying to do. Magnitsky died in 2009. He had been detained on the tax evasion charges. He got terrible medical care, became ill, got terrible medical care, and he died of natural causes, but exacerbated by bad medical care. And in fact, the Physicians for Human Rights, an American organization to which Browder sent a lot of documents hoping they were going to come out with his answer that Magnitsky had been killed. Well, they didn't. They said he had terrible medical care. But Magnitsky became the martyr that Browder needed, and he began to organize an international campaign. He got members of Congress who were talking about a period even before the an annexation of Crimea, when there were people in the U.S. Congress and the government that really wanted Cold War 2.0. They considered Russia the enemy. So here was another point that they could make. This is a terrible country, and it had murdered an accountant. No, it was, Browder said it was his lawyer. He couldn't tell people it was his accountant. And what had happened was, in the interim, after Browder was no longer in the country, and after the tax evasion had gone on, that was from around 2001. In 2007, there was a fraud perpetrated on the Russian Treasury. Some fraudsters, and this had been done before, not just with Browder's companies. Sometimes the people that owned the companies were complicit, maybe others not, but some of his companies were re-registered in other names, and fraudulent fake lawsuits were filed against those companies saying, we had a contract and you didn't fulfill it and you therefore owe us X million dollars. And the new fake owners would say, you're so right, we're going to pay you X million dollars. And then they're going to do a refund application on their taxes, because they would say, we paid X million of taxes in our last filing, but we just had to pay X million in a default claim. And it, guess what? It turns out to be just the same amount. So we want that refund back. And there were probably some crooked people in areas in the Treasury that said, okay, you're getting it. So the money was $230 million. And that was in 2009. I'm sorry, in 2007, in December 2007. And nothing much happened in terms of publicity about that. It only was after Magnitsky died that Browder started claiming that he had been killed because he had exposed this fraud. Well, actually, it wasn't true for two reasons. He'd been detained on a tax evasion charge, which dated to about 2003 and 2004. This other event was 2007. And second, a newspaper called Commerçant had already written about this fraud. Browder said, Magnitsky said in testimony later that he had found out about it at a certain point, I think in October of 2008. But it turned out that Commerçant had already written about that in April, months before. So the idea that Magnitsky found out about this was not true. Now, why did Browder have to say this? Because he was making Magnitsky into the martyr. He was saying Magnitsky was in prison because he found out about this scam that some government officials were involved in. We know that's not true. It had already been written about. And two, that's why he was arrested, which had happened in about November of 2009 or of 08. But he actually was detained on the tax evasion charges, and the interrogations of Magnitsky were about the tax evasion. But now that he had died, it didn't matter what he said, because American journalists and people in Congress would say, oh, we don't care what the Russians say. We don't care what the testimony says. We just care what Browder says. Does he provide us with any evidence? No, just a claim. But we don't need evidence, because we know that the Russians are bad and Browder must be good, because the Russians don't like him.
No,
so he built a massive international campaign. It included the Magnitsky Act. That was the an early thing. That was in 2012, which he worked on after Magnitsky died. And that said that people that were connected to Magnitsky's death would not be allowed in the country and their accounts would be frozen. Who decide who was connected to Magnitsky's death? Browder did. Was there any evidence to the contrary? Of course there was. There was an NGO that had done a very extensive investigation, the only one actually that interviewed people in the hospital and others who might know, and they said, as I have said before, he died of terrible medical care. But that didn't matter, because Browder said that he died for this other reason. Did anybody check it out? No, they don't check it out. I asked the State Department, which is involved in choosing the Magnitsky list, how did they find out that these things were correct, that these people were involved in his death? And the answer I got back from the State Department is, this is their Human Rights Division, we do a lot of research. Whenever we put out these reports, we do a lot of research. That was what they said. They didn't give me any evidence at all. It was totally research-free. And so the Magnitsky list started with about maybe, I don't know, about 40 people. And then he got it adopted by the British, most recently by the Canadians, by the European Parliament, although it doesn't have effect there because the Council of Governments has to decide. The European Parliament can only make recommendations. But all of these things began. He got the Interpol, when the Russians convicted Browder and his partner of tax evasion in 2013. Normally, when somebody is convicted by a country, they can put out a red notice on Interpol, and if that person tries to cross a border, there is this warrant for their arrest. But Interpol said, and they gave me the same response the State Department did, we're not going to carry this out because it's political. And I asked them, how do you mean it's political? And they said to me in an email, I'm sorry, we don't give this information. So he has gotten now the Americans, he got Interpol, he got later the Russians, I'm sorry, the British, most recently the Canadians, the European Parliament, to set up this Magnitsky rule. Most recently, he is trying to get the Russians, thrown out of Interpol. Can you imagine? This man is making his own foreign policy. And Interpol, of course, is a very important international agency that relates to how do you have, in a world where there really aren't borders, how do you have criminal law enforcement? Well, if you throw the Russians out, what about when the Americans want to go after somebody on a criminal law enforcement case and the Russians aren't in Interpol? So this is where we've gotten to now. The other thing that's happened is also very interesting. The media began also to write this. For example, I picked up a story by the Financial Times, which is very well thought of. So let's go back. This was in 2012. Sergei Magnitsky, a dogged lawyer who worked for the law firm that represented Hermitage, he was not a lawyer, he was an accountant, later discovered that Russian authorities had perpetrated a tax fraud, forged Hermitage documents to transfer $230 million of state money to a criminal gang. Well, he didn't discover it, as I explained. It was discovered, it was reported on by Kommersant. Rather than congratulating Magnitsky for his assistance, the authorities accused him of orchestrating the fraud and arrested him in November 08. They did not accuse him of orchestrating the fraud. They accused him of tax evasion, of complicit in that. You just have to look at my website, and I reproduce the actual charges. I reproduce the testimony. After a year's detention, during which time he was repeatedly denied medical treatment, he was beaten to death in his jail cell. He got ill toward the end, not in the very beginning. He was not beaten to death. There was no proof that he was beaten to death. What's really funny is Browder says 10 thugs beat him to death for, no, I'm sorry, 8 thugs beat him to death. Sometimes he says 8 hours, and sometimes he says 7 hours. And this is reported in one case. It's on the film that was done by Andrei Nekrasov, a Russian, and he says this. Well, and then he also put pictures of the body with some bruises. And you assume that he's going to put the toughest pictures he can get, right? The bruises are on the ankles and on the wrist. Now, he was handcuffed at the end. This was a prison, and he was very distraught, and he was apparently kicking the door. But think about this for a minute. 7 or 8 thugs with rubber batons beat him for 8 hours, and they all aimed only at his wrists and ankles. Can you imagine that? What important parts of the body are in your wrists and ankles that you would die, and why would these people be aiming only for his wrists and ankles? Because there are no bruises shown on any other part of the body. You have to just use some common sense. So there were hundreds of those kinds of stories in the Western press, even in the alternative media, and that's when this set the stage for the Magnitsky Act. And of course, Browder had his lobbyists and he had his PR people. And the Magnitsky Act was sponsored by Republican Senator John McCain and the Democratic Representatives Ben McCardin and Jim McGovern. And the irony is that McCain said to Browder, at a meeting in Washington in 2012, "Bill, you are a genuine American hero." Didn't he know? Didn't he care that his American hero has given up his citizenship and taken a British passport a couple of years, 4 years before, to avoid paying U.S. taxes? So interesting on this, the people who voted no on the Magnitsky Act, the senators, were Michigan Democrat Carl Levin. He had spent decades trying to end offshore bank and corporate secrecy, which, of course, Browder had taken care of. He had his own shell company set up by Mossack Fonseca. The two Rhode Island Democrats, John Reed and Sheldon Whitehouse, and Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren had not yet taken her seat, so she couldn't vote. And at that time, Browder gave them 18 names, and later he added new ones to about 40, and now it's gone up. There were no formal charges, no written evidence. These people had no way to counter the charges or off the list. I mean, this is rule of law.
Mm-hmm. Well, what
you were going to ask me something.
Yeah, well, what's in the news right now is that the Magnitsky Act was a reason for that famous meeting with the Russians in the Trump Tower.
Yes, we get to that. Okay, so let's move up to that. This is why this is not just a story about one guy who has figured out a way to get away from being forced to pay millions of dollars of back taxes. It has a real political impact and foreign policy impact in the U.S. If there was no Magnitsky Act, now I was about to tell you why this Russian lawyer came, so I'll come into that because that was the next part. That has to do with the Prevazon case. She was the lawyer for Prevazon, and I'll come back to that. But without a Magnitsky Act, this lawyer would not have gone to see Donald Trump Jr. to try to get him to get Trump to do something and get rid of the Magnitsky Act. That would not have happened. This Russiagate, so much of which goes back to that, would not have happened. So let me tell you about the Prevazon case, because that's next, and that relates to why the lawyer went. So Browder was continuing to push the $230 million fake story. He got the U.S. government to prosecute the owner of Prevazon. That's a real estate company run by a Russian. And the reason they picked him was his father had been a head of Russian railways and was a guy with some note in Russia. Of the 230 million, they accused him of receiving 1.9 million. That's nothing. 1.9 out of 230, and his company Prevezon hadn't even been set up at the time of the tax refund fraud. So Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, very political guy. They bring the charges. These are filed in 2012, which is 5 years after the tax refund fraud, but it's the height of the whole Russian tax evasion case against Browder. Remember, he was convicted in 2013, the next year, so they were pushing this case. So that's why Browder is taking this other route. Now, normally, justice takes on cases of big corruption, big money. This involved a minor amount, $1.9 million, and this person wasn't even on the Magnitsky list. Browder didn't even put him on the Magnitsky list. So why did they go after this guy? His father was a government railroad executive, so he was politically connected. And they filed the case after meeting with Browder. They didn't do any of their own investigation. The DOJ, the Justice Department chief investigator, Todd Hyman, said in a deposition in the U.S., Southern District of New York, that his investigation meant copying claims from Browder's website. The lawyer for the other Prevezon said, did you interview any direct witnesses? No. What steps did you take to find Browder to be credible? We got his documentation. What documents did he provide? Copies of bank records. Did you get in touch with the banks to see if they were accurate? No, I did not. They were foreign banks. The lawyer is very funny. He said, yeah, does your phone go long distance? It was fraudulent to begin with. And the Justice Department just repeated the Browder's lies. And they just commented about everything that Browder had said about the $230 million fraud scheme, and that Magnitsky had testified about the roles of government officials in October, the month before he was arrested. That's a lie. You can look at his testimony. It's on my website. The death testimony of that date does not mention the officials he's supposed to have mentioned. Justice Department said Magnitsky was beaten by 8 guards with rubber batons. We've already gone into that. It provides no evidence for that. And it provided a chart of how the money moved. It was Browder's chart that they never checked out because their phone doesn't go long distance, or they mm-hmm. just never checked it out.
Can we talk a little bit about all the oligarchs that sprang up after the Soviet Union collapsed? It seems to me there's about 100 of them, as far as I know.
Well, a lot of this had to do with something called the Loans for Shares. Mm-hmm. And this was promoted by one of the Clinton-Gore, this is Bill Clinton, and Al Gore fair-haired boys named Anatoly Chubais. He was a deputy of foreign minister. And the idea was, deputy prime minister. This was in 95. Now, the presidential election that Yeltsin was going to run in for, in 96, they needed money for the election. They did something called Loans for Shares. It was a scheme. And they got, the deal was they would have auctions run by banks to auction off steel, oil, the major state-owned assets. And they were going to auction them off for loans, and the collateral was the assets. The auctions were rigged. Who won the auctions? The banks, or subsidiaries of the banks that were running the auctions. So what happened? Let's take Khodorkovsky. He got Yukos, which was worth $5 billion. What did he pay for it? About $300 million. That's what happened. And, of course, the loans were never paid back, and the oligarchs basically stole the Russian patrimony. Yeltsin got the money for his campaign. Some of the money was just moved out of the country offshore. It was a scam. That's why for the next 10 years, that's why Putin got elected, by the way, for the next 10 years, the Russians suffered worse than the American Depression, worse than Europe had suffered after World War II. It was a horror. The country had been destroyed, and that's why Putin, which has brought the country back, is so popular. Well, that's why he got elected. But that's what happened That's why these oligarchs became so super rich, moved a lot of their money out of the country through the offshore system.
How did Putin, how was he able to get a, did he make a deal with some of the oligarchs? That's what I've heard. That,
in some case, yes, what he did was, some of them, like Khodorkovsky, decided they have so much money, let's take over the government. So they got very much involved in putting up people for the Duma, getting involved in their own political parties. And Putin said, look, we're not going to go after you for having stolen, you know, billions of the country's patrimony, but you're not going to use it in order to take over the government through the political process. And those, some of them said, okay, we'll keep our money. And some of them said, no, we won't. It's sort of like in the U.S. when the super rich run the country because they buy the elections. They buy the Congress. They buy the presidential election. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Putin didn't want that to happen in Russia. And so the ones that just kept the bucks and said, okay, we'll just keep our money, they were not bothered. And they all, obviously, many of them could have been bothered. Khodorkovsky really was a tax cheat. There are lots of documents about that. And he used the offshore system to cheat on taxes. And so the Russians went after him and put him in jail for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently Putin, the government is still going after some of these fraudsters. You read about every now and then some big shot is arrested and put on trial. So this is kind of like a never-ending story. Can you tell us about your website and where we can find out more about this?
It's called thecommissarscoop.com. This article was written for 100 reporters, mm-hmm. so it's on their site, which is 100r.org. And on my site, I've added some things, some documents, including some of the screenshots about his Mossack Fonseca companies and his $11 million house in Aspen. And it's thecommissarscoop.com, thekomisar.scoop. I'm sorry, thekomisarscoop.com. And I also have a running list of stories called The Browder Hoax. As things come up, I put more stories that are online. People can subscribe to the site for free, or they can subscribe to my Twitter feed at Lucy Commissar, and then they will, so they will therefore be getting all these updates as they come out, including this audio, and the audio I did 2 weeks ago for you, which was the first half of the story, setting out what Browder had done, and this is bringing it more up to date.
Well, this story is kind of as the one of the this whole thing about the way that the Russian patrimony was stolen. You know, this is to me is a big reason why there is such ill feeling going on now, and it's sort of at the root of a whole lot of problems that the U.S. and Russia are having, which could. Who knows where it will go? I mean, it could lead to war.
Well, Americans don't know about it. The Russians mm-hmm. know about it.
Yes.
And that's why Putin is so popular. Mm-hmm. The Americans don't know about it. And that's because our media is basically so incompetent or rotten. But there have been, in years past, people talked a little bit about that. But in order to understand what's going on between the Americans and Russians and why there is so much mistrust, you have to know that Clinton Gore promoted this. They wanted privatization. They didn't want the government to run anything. And they didn't care if it was privatization into the pockets of the crooks, mm-hmm. because that's what happened.
Plus, they meddled in the Russian election in 1996, too.
Oh, well, yes. that's what this was about. And they also meddled more directly, and there mm-hmm. were people that were sent to be, quote, advisors, the kind of people that advise campaign advisors, mm-hmm. and they were sent to work. In the election. So, yes, of course, they meddled. The U.S. meddled.
Well, it's a story that just keeps on just, it gets worse and worse. It just never stops. So I want to thank you very much. We've been talking with investigative reporter Lucy Commissar all about the background for what's going on in Russia and this William Browder, who seems to have an awful lot of influence over our Congress. It's kind of amazing. He has Congress mesmerized. But and once again, what's the name of that? How can people stay up to date on this?
TheCommissarScoop.com, mm-hmm. the and then KOMISARSCOOP.com, and get on my Twitter feed, because whenever I do one of these stories, I put a note on Twitter. So that's at Lucy Commissar.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us, and this is one story that we're going to keep on looking into. Thank you very much for your information.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
And stay tuned. Coming up is Air Cascadia on KBOO, your radio station.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Portland.
Cascadia, half an hour of news in 15 minutes.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. It's the end of the news as you know it. Good morning, Cascadia.